Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. We're going to study an acrostic today as we begin Stewardship Month. And this is not an acrostic that I invented, although I like inventing acrostics and alliterations. They help me to remember biblical truths. They really do. I mean, you probably all have heard the acrostic GRACE. Growing up, G-R-A-C-E, saving grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. That's a great definition of saving faith. I made up a couple others. Living faith, God's riches at Christian experiences. I'm sorry, God's resources at Christian experiences. No matter what experience we're going through as a Christian, good or bad, God's resources will be available for us to be what God wants us to be, to do what God wants us to do, and to go where God wants us to go. And then dying grace. There's those three types of grace in the scriptures. God's repose at a Christian's expiration. Well, expiration from this life. But, he that believeth in me shall never die, Jesus said. But God's repose. John Wesley once said, our people die well. They have peace. So acrostics are ways that you can remember truths. Alliterations are ways that you can remember truths. And they've really helped me truths. I'm able to pull out these alliterations and helps get me through sometimes when I know something. Now today, the acrostic is Thanksgiving. As you notice on your sheet, there are 12 letters in Thanksgiving. They are along the left side. They're a little bigger than the other letters. Thanksgiving. That's 12 letters. We're going to fill in some blanks. I did not make this outline up, although the message I'll bring, but I don't even know who the writer was, but he wrote a book called Experience God as Your Provider. Amen. And I thought this is impressive, this acrostic that he invented. But let's first look at the scriptures, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 11. It says this, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. These verses talk about the material world and the spiritual world, that God is the one that has the power in both to bless us. And so he ends verses 11 and 12 as he talks about the material world, finances, both riches and honor, the spiritual world. It all comes from God. And so his conclusion in verse 13, now therefore our God, we thank thee. We thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Let us thank God that he is able to help us in every realm of our lives, spiritually, every realm, doesn't matter what you're going through. In the unseen world, maybe you're struggling with some besetting sin or addiction or whatever, or you're struggling with depression or whatever. God rules and reigns in the affairs of our lives, and he can help us in the unseen world, but also in the tangible world, and things like riches that it mentions here in verse number 12. Now, I don't have this on your notes, but underneath the text, you might want to write this down. I love this verse here in Deuteronomy. I'll read this. Don't turn there. In fact, there's so many scriptures today, we're not going to go through them all. We hope you'll study them at home and know what you believe and why you believe it. But in Deuteronomy 8, the wilderness wandering's over, the 40 years is over, they're about ready to go into the promised land, and Deuteronomy is a review of the law and a review of the history of the 40 years of wandering. And God's saying, now look, you're going to go into the promised land. I'm going to bless you. Don't forget me. Don't forget. Don't forget. And I want to encourage all of you to do that. Don't forget. How often God takes us out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon a rock and establishes our going, and all of a sudden we're blessed, we're prosperous, and we can... It's just human nature. If it's like that in Deuteronomy 8, it's like that today. People can be blessed, and they trust in God, and they weep, and they cry, and they pray, and God comes through, and God meets their needs, and God gives them a job, and God gives them a health, and God gives them money, and right about then, you can be tempted, and I can be tempted to forget the Lord. And so he says, don't forget the Lord in Deuteronomy 8, and then verse 18, he says this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. We've got to remember that it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. I mean, we can become presumptuous and get up from bed every day and have breakfast and have our coffee and we go out to work and so on and so forth. But the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. We live, we exist because God has allowed us to exist. We are mobile because God gives us mobility. And we have our being, we possess our sound minds, we can work. And some of you, are brilliant and you can work your job. But we got to remember, God gives us all those things. And let us not forget. Let us not forget. So today we speak about 12 keys to financial stability. And by the way, we don't talk about money all of October. In fact, you might not hear much about it anymore after this morning. There's all kinds of stewardships that we talk about. The stewardship of our time, the stewardship of our talents, the stewardship of our treasures. And we just kind of stir up the subject of stewardship. Stewardship of your marriage, your family, your job and everything God's given you, and your ministry, being a good steward of those things. 12 keys to financial stability. Number one, transfer ownership back to God. Transfer ownership back to God. We just read that in our opening verses. Thou shalt remember that it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. We can become proud if we're not careful, or just maybe ignorant and think, no, I did this. But I've seen too many people become disabled and never work again. And to have to trust in maybe a pension or disability or even in government aid or church aid or something like that. And so let us, you know, boast not thyself of tomorrow, Solomon said, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I remember a man who was very proud, and he told God, he said, well, if God wants my money, let him get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work. Oh my, you don't mock God. And he had a horrific, a massive heart attack shortly after that. He never worked a day of his life again. But it has a good ending. It humbled him. And in his case, he came to know Christ as his Savior. But you don't talk to God like that. We should thank him every day that we can live and earn a living and transfer ownership back to God. I was over visiting Mickey Scott yesterday. Pray for Mickey. She's under hospice care. She's 88. And she used to come here a lot before COVID. And she's about ready to fly off to heaven. She's her faith in Christ as her Savior is strong. And, you know, she's one of those survivors of the concentration camps. Her father and mother were killed by the Nazis. And just the stuff she's lived through, it just... Yikes. But you know, she can't see, she's blind, but she's got enough sight that she's got this big, thick magnifying glass about this big and this thick, and she reads the Bible every day. She reads the Bible and she prays, and she was going through prayer requests with me, like, how's Brightway Baptist Church going? Is Pastor Frank Broughton still out there? Is he keeping it going? How's things going at the countryside? And she's just going through. She said, how's your son, Steve? How's Rebecca? And she's just going through all these things. And I'm thinking, that's a lady that prays. Kind of shocks you when people talk that way sometimes. And they remember the specifics. But while we were talking, you know, and God's blessed her and her husband in America. But she said, you know, she said, Pastor Cole, we're just caretakers of all that God has given us. That's all we are. We're just caretakers of all that God has given us. And she said, I'm going to leave this world soon and leave it all behind. What a great attitude. What a great, everything God has given us, we're just caretakers. Number two, humbly adjust your lifestyle to live below your means. Write in the word below there if you're filling in the outline here. Number two, humbly adjust your lifestyle to live below your means. My, oh my. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is enough for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is enough to satisfy us. You know, loving Jesus can save you a lot of money because he satisfies you. And then you look at this and you say, well, I don't need that to satisfy me. And I don't need that to satisfy me. And you get all the circulars from the stores trying to get you in to buy stuff. And you look at it and you go through page after page and no, nothing in there I need. Jesus satisfies me. You can save a lot of money by allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Now, not just your Savior. It doesn't say, the Lord is my Savior, I shall not want. No, it goes beyond that. The Lord is my Shepherd, I shall not want. As we go beyond salvation to following Christ, he satisfies. That's what it means when it says, I shall not want. He satisfies us. And we can live below our means. That's the problem here. In America right now, number three, I'll get to that in a minute, avoid or eliminate growing indebtedness and surety. I want to encourage you to pick off your debts one by one. If you got nine debts, take the smallest one and just make a bullseye on it and get rid of it, and then you'll have eight. And then take the next lowest one, and then you'll have seven, and then six, and then five, and then four, and then three. Just keep picking them off. You'll feel good about yourself. Avoid or eliminate growing indebtedness and surety. That means to co-sign. I know you love people, you love your relatives, but I wouldn't co-sign for them. I'd find some other way to help them in a Christian way. But boy, I'll tell you, surety. You read these verses, and it says, he that loveth surety shall smart for it. It smarts when you're left holding the bag for someone else. So notice two and three here. Adjust your lifestyle, live below your means, avoid or eliminate growing indebtedness and surety. My wife and I were on our way to Cindy's birthday party yesterday. We're listening to the Finn guys. I like listening to them. They're crazy. The Finn guys, F-I-N, it's on WBEN radio. From 1 till 3 on Saturdays. These guys are right-wingers, I'll tell you. And conservatives. But they're finance. Finn is short for financial. And Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle, you know, maybe heard of those guys. But anyway, they were saying yesterday that 50% of all adult Americans do not have an emergency fund of $1,000 in case something happens. You never know when a washer's going to quit, dryer's going to quit, refrigerator's going to quit, something, all your tires need to be replaced before winter. They don't have $1,000. Mike was telling me that there's a statistic out that 30% of adult Americans don't have $300 in an emergency fund for a rainy day. You're going to have a rainy day someday. And the funny thing is, they're not Christian men at all, but the funny thing is, they were on their show yesterday, they said, people ought to listen to Dave Ramsey. I said, well, praise the Lord. That wouldn't hurt to listen to Dave Ramsey, Brother Mike O'Mara, Larry Burkett, or something like that. God has given us a wealth of advice in these days and age, this day and age, on how to get it out of debt, eliminate debt. And boy, you just feel good about yourself when you can live and then save for the future, save for retirement, and so on. And avoid or eliminate. Look, you got to fight the temptation about credit cards and covetousness. We'll get to that in a minute here. Number four, navigate away from financial temptations. Navigate away. Look, you can't sit in front of a television and watch infomercials all day. They're just too good. They're just too good. If I see an infomercial, I'll start thinking, how did I ever live without this? I have got to have this item. I mean, they are good at selling stuff. So you don't watch them. And don't get all these magazines and circulars and advertisements and so on coming into your house. Just cancel them, because you'll start thumbing through a magazine and say, I got to have that. I got to have that. I got to have that. But you live up to that point without it. You don't have to have it. Now, the Bible word is covetousness. And it's a serious matter. You study covetousness. Get your concordance out. God calls covetousness idolatry. And that's the worst sin. The first of the great commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's idolatry. The last, number 10, thou shalt not covet. The two are tied together, number 10 and number 1, are tied together. Take your concordance, study the word covet or covetousness. What is that? In Exodus, it's thou shalt not covet. In Deuteronomy, when the Ten Commandments are repeated, it's this word, thou shalt not desire that which is your neighbor's. You say, but Pastor, that's the American way. Yeah, but it's not the Bible way. Amen. See, there's sometimes, if we're going to be biblical Christians, we have to be un-American. At least in some of the behavior of our country. We don't have to have everything the Joneses have, because they're just in competition with someone else. And man, lie, you go, you may have to avoid Lowe's or Home Depot. You go into the kitchen section there and you think about your kitchen. My son did a kitchen in Orchard Park, $90,000. A kitchen, not the house, the kitchen, $90,000. You got to navigate away from financial temptations. I'm going to read this for you. Psalm 119, it's on your notes, verse 36, says this, incline mine heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. You got to watch. Your eyes affect your heart. Jeremiah said that. And all that is in the world is broken down into three categories. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Boy, your eyes will tell you all your life, they'll say, you've got to have this, you've got to have this, you've got to have this. And commercials on television. Every commercial probably that you ever see will have these two words in it. You deserve. You deserve. You deserve. You deserve. You know, a Lexus or something, you deserve. And pretty soon after you've heard it thousands of times, guess what? You start believing it. Man, I deserve. I don't care what amount of debt I have. I gotta have this. This is the fountain of life right here. This is the key to, if I could just have this, I know I have found satisfaction. But you haven't. You can see senior citizens riding all over the country in $150,000 RVs, $200,000 RVs. It's the last toy, I call it. The last toy before they check out. And there's nothing wrong. I know Glenn and Janet have one. But they go on missions trips all winter long with it, and they live in it, and they fix up Christian schools and churches and Christian camps, and they never charge for their services. Amen, brother. I love Glenn and Janet when they do that. And they've been a big help to Hilltop Baptist Countryside. They're out there helping. I'm glad they can get away. They're not your average snowbirds. They're just going out to serve God and help. And I'm glad God's blessed them with that. So don't get me wrong. But you got to navigate away from financial temptations. Number five, know your financial status and goals. Know your financial status and goals. Don't be one of these people holding your head saying, "Where's all the money going?" What? No, you got to know your financial status and goals by having a budget or a skeleton outline of a budget at least, and then share it with you if you're married, okay? Let me just tell you a little advice for marriage. Husband and wife, one of you is probably stronger than the other in finances. Whoever you are and whoever's kind of controlling the books of the marriage, share it with the other one so they're not in the dark. All right, this is what we have. This is what comes in. This is what has to go out. This is what we're left with. All right? So you're not ignorant of your financial status. And what are your goals? Do you have some goals for retirement or to pay off the house or whatever? And, you know, we're not going to go to all the restaurants and so on because we're going to start doubling up on our mortgage and what are your goals? Share with people in need. Number six, share with people in need. Jesus said, "The poor you have with you always." And whenever you can help. I want to encourage you to share with people that are in need. Maybe you're in need, but it's probably highly unlikely in America. We really don't know what poverty is here too much. But there are hungry people in America. There are people in poverty in America and in your town. And in your church. Maybe it's not you. Don't be judgmental and wag your finger and say, "Well, they deserve, you know, you might be in their shoes someday." And help people in need. Do not enable people. If you know that person to be a gambler or alcoholic or drug addict or something, you're not helping them by giving them money. Okay, but there are sincerely people in need. I mean, people who are trying, people who are working. And God will show you, and when God prompts your heart about that, help that person. Help that person. Don't kind of put it off and grieve the Holy Ghost. Just help that person. And some of you are professional people, and you can use your profession on occasions, not all the time, but on occasions, you can maybe do some charity work for somebody. You got to be careful about that, but you can help somebody once in a while. Number seven, give to God first as your highest financial priority. Give to God first. Now, sometimes we don't think about that, but remember the verses at the beginning of the scriptures. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even be breathing right now. I wouldn't have any mobility. I wouldn't have a sound mind. I wouldn't be able to see, think, hear, speak, or nothing. If it wasn't for God. And so in Proverbs chapter number 3, it's a famous verse, but it says this in verse number 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase." God first. There's just something about putting God first, and there's so many promises. I'll get you a list before the month's over. Where you can take God at his word because he is a God that cannot lie. And Jesus one time said, "Give a one-word commandment," followed by a 39-word promise. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." And but give to those in need, give to God first, the first fruits. And by the way, the whole message today is take God into your life as your primary financial advisor. Amen. Don't be afraid to let God have his way in your finances. Number eight, involve yourselves in productive work. We don't have many lazy people in our church that I know of. I am amazed sometimes at how hard the members of this church work during the week and what they do. Some of you tell me what you do. I can't even understand what you're talking about. It's so far over my head. Oh, good. Hope you're good at it. And they are. And amen. 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to read chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Boy, imagine if we did that in our country. Hey, you're not working, you don't eat. Remember the guy, he lost his job in the factory. And he came home, he was crying, and he told his wife, and she was crying, and they lost his job in the factory. And so the next day he gets up, puts his work clothes on, and his wife thinks he kind of forgot maybe, or, you know, we're creatures of habit. And she said, "You lost your job." And he said, "That's right. So what are you doing?" He says, "I'm going to work." She said, "But you lost your job." And he said, "Honey," he said, "God said, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat." It doesn't say if he gets a paycheck, neither should he eat. But if he doesn't work, neither should he eat. So he went out with black garbage bags and went all over his town and everywhere there was a fence and other stuff around his town where there was garbage laying around. He picked it up and put it in a bag and threw it away. And he worked and he worked and he cleaned up his town. People said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm working so I can eat. I believe God's going to keep feeding me if I'll keep working." And that was a testimony that turned a bunch of people to Christ. Because he said, it's not a paycheck that God says. He says, if anyone doesn't work, every one of us should find some way to contribute to our family. You kids should work. At home, you should be given chores, and you should do it, and you should do it well. Whether you ever get an allowance for it or not, you should do it well, and you should be expected to finish the job. And we should just go through life that way. Well, I don't have a paycheck, but I can do something. I'll go down to the church and mow the lawn or something. Let me read on. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Amen. So we should work. Involve yourself in productive work. Now, you young people, you go into these entrance-level jobs. Well, now it's getting productive. Man, some of them are like desperate. They'll give you $19 an hour to flip hamburgers and stuff. So, but it wasn't always like that. But you go into an entrance-level job, and they say that, like a man, it takes him about 7 different employments before he really finds his life's calling, what he enjoys, what he's good at, whatever. I don't know. It's not always that way. But eventually, you want to find productive work. Don't be afraid to trust God by faith. If you're in a dead-end job, to look for something else. He may have something wonderful for you. Productive work. Number 9, view every need and desire as a chance to trust God. Aha! We have needs. We have desires. We don't have to trust the credit card company and say, "Well, I got plastic. I can put it on plastic." That's presumption. We're supposed to avoid presumptuous sins. "Well, I'll always be able, we'll make a way to at least pay the monthly minimum." Yeah. Wow, did you ever see those rates? That's criminal. Some of the rates on those credit cards. But anyway, view every need and desire as a chance to trust God. What does that mean? Pray. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." I remember once we bought a fixer-upper, our house that we live in, and it was a wreck. We paid $7,900 for our house. So I went to insure it, and the guy said, "We can't insure your house." I said, "Why not?" He says, "There's no foundation under it. It was on pillars. It was on wood pillars. You don't have a foundation under your house." I said, "Man, can't insure it, sorry." So I said, "Well, we got to put a foundation under this." So Dave Scritchfield helped me. Some of you remember Dave. He died in an accident here last year and went to heaven. But so we got under our house, a little crawl space this big, and we're under there with shovels going like this. And picks. I mean, it was topsoil, shale. No, topsoil, clay, shale, more dirt. It was tough. We had to go down 42 inches all the way around the house, under, shoveling out clay, shale. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life physically. Dave helped me. Then we poured a footer. We got the concrete guys coming with the concrete truck. You pour a footer. Well, then I needed block. We needed block. So I prayed, just like it says here. View every need and desire as a chance to trust God. I said, "Lord, we need blocks." I counted them up. I said, "We need 235 cinder blocks. We have to go up four, put pressure-treated plate on it, and lower the house on it. 235. We had the church going at the time, just barely. The church was not even, almost a year old, and there was a dear lady in our church going through a hard time, had four boys, and her husband divorced her. She was crushed. And so I went over, I don't know if my wife went with me, some of us went over to the house to comfort her. And we were there, and while we were talking to her, she said, "Pastor Cole, do you know anybody that needs some cinder blocks?" She pointed to a pile outside of cinder blocks. She said, "Before my husband left me, it was our plan to add an addition onto our house right here, but that dream is shot, and they're just in the way. I'll give them away if you know anybody that wants cinder blocks." So I said, "Okay, I'll take it." Now, some of you are going to think I'm making this up. Some of you think everything's a coincidence. I feel sorry for you. But do you know how many cinder blocks there were in her pile? There was 235 cinder blocks in that pile. And I came with a truck and got them. And I could tell you stories all day like that, and some of you could tell stories all day like that. Because before you run into debt or into credit or something like that, why not pray and give God some time to work things out? And my house still sits on those cinder blocks. Oh, it's something to look at those. Ed Durham helped me put them on, and just had a lot of good help. Well, let's finish. Number 10, insert time in your week to manage your finances and legal matters. Don't just let them happen. Have some time where you sit down and say, "How are we doing financially? Pay the bills. And check your budget," and so on. Communicate with each other if you're married. Take some time. Don't just let it happen. Okay, just don't wing it. Get your finances in order. Number 11, never be dishonest. I want you to write down another verse that's not on your notes. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:12. And I want to read this. It says, "That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without." That means towards the unsaved. "And that ye may have lack of nothing." Now, some people are going to tell you, "Well, you can't make it honestly in this world." They're lying, and God's right. God is right, and they're wrong. And you keep your eye on those people, they end up in a mess. "Well, you can't make it unless you work under the table." No, those people are wrong, and God's right. God always keeps his promises here. And he says that if you and I will be honest, we'll have lack of nothing. He will bless an honest man and an honest woman. That's just what God does. He blesses honesty. And then number 12, gain biblical understanding. Gain biblical understanding. And that's where David Ramsey got his wisdom from, and Larry Burkett and Mike O'Mara and others that have done well, is they started with the Bible, maybe the book of Proverbs, and God began to teach them. And they said, "You know, the Bible is the greatest book ever written on financial advice." Amen. The book of Proverbs is probably the greatest book ever on financial advice. I think I'll live by that. And then God started blessing them, and they started to say, hey, I think we'll share this with others. And pretty soon they had nationwide ministries, worldwide ministries, that have helped so many people just simply incorporate Bible principles into their lives. And everyone who does finds that it works. Now, I know there's experiences like Job, where the bottom just falls out on a good person. We understand that. But for the most part, if you'll just gain biblical knowledge and say, what does the Bible say? I remember reading Proverbs with my wife 72 times the first 6 years of our marriage out loud at the breakfast table. We'd read a chapter a day for 6 years. And several times people asked me if I would co-sign for them for a loan. But I knew what the Bible said. And I said, I can't do that. I'm sorry. And I showed them Scripture. And I tried to find some other way to scripturally help them through a difficult time. But boy, that saved me. I don't know what that saved me from. But gain biblical knowledge. And so there's 12 keys to financial stability. And my friends, rest assured, God will take care of you. Now listen, you say, well, you know, we hear this every year. Let me say this in closing. Inflation's coming. If you can't see it, open your eyes. Inflation's coming, and what you're earning right now is not going to be worth as much a year from now, or 2 years, or 5 years from now. You're going to want to know this stuff now, and you're going to want to get at it. So I hope you'll take that outline, read it, share it with your wife, husband. Just say, hey, let's try to do these things by God's grace. He never asks us to do anything, but he can't give us the grace to obey and to incorporate into our lives. God will take care of you. Amen? What a wonderful song that is. And so I think we'll sing it in closing the service today. By the way, tonight, 6 o'clock, I'll be bringing a sermon on two Old Testament characters I've never preached on before. We've got at least two to be baptized tonight. We've got a van full of people coming in from Pennsylvania to watch the baptism. Plus, we've got the Lord's Supper tonight. Got the Lord. It's going to be a great evening in the house of God. Maybe you've been saved recently and need to be baptized. You want to talk to me after service. I'll show you the baptistry. I'll explain believers' baptism. Maybe you want to join them tonight. 6 o'clock. It's going to be a great evening service. But let's close the service now. Page 579, we changed the song here, 579, God will take care of you. Amen? Let's stand together and close by singing. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce their path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. Take care of you. God will take care. All right, listen to the words on the third. It'll be our last. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. Take care of you. God. love you. You know, something that blesses my heart before we close in prayer is the young people in this church, their 20s and their 30s, who are so far ahead of the other people their age in this world already. Because they were taught these principles by their parents growing up and by this church. And they're good stewards already. You are so far ahead of most those your age. God bless you. You young people, you're going to be the future of this church. I'll be gone soon. But you're going to be leading this church someday. And you have learned financial principles that just have helped you so much. God bless you and keep it up. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless this stewardship month. We pray for Missions Conference to be the best ever. We pray for the Up to Grow family, especially Brother John and Ethel. Lord, that the God of all comfort would be very real to them, not only this week, but in this upcoming season in their life. Thank you for Pastor Roger and all that he meant to so many. Lord, help the sick, some with COVID, some with other health problems, others with injuries, surgeries. Some are traveling. Lord, that they might be back with us soon and the other churches could stay open and we could trust in you. Lord, we pray for anybody here today who does not yet know the Lord as their Savior, that they would, with a childlike faith, just simply come to thee and say, Lord Jesus, save me, and believe that you died on the cross for their sins and you were buried and you rose again. Pray for more to be baptized in obedience to Christ's command and confess their faith in Christ outwardly. And Lord, bless tonight's service. Give us safety now going home and coming back. We just pray for a glorious time tonight in the house of God and on our missions conference. Lord, we're praying for our best ever missions conference next week. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.